I'll introduce these two in a minute. First of all, I'll just say there are handouts of this talk and quite full notes, so you don't need to worry about taking notes. And it's the sort of talk that people kept saying to me, what is it about, even when I'd written it, and I said, oh, I don't really know. So it hasn't got that much content in it, so really you'd be better off doing the not to upstage me. So, first conceiving an I, we cling to an ego. Then conceiving a mine, we cling to a material world. Like water in a wheel, helplessly we circle. I bow down to the compassion that arises for all beings. So my brief for this talk was the problem of self and world, the first two lines of the verse. And there are two threads that I want to draw out. So one is that all of this, me in all my complexity and wondrousness, which you've just heard about, and you lot who are all endlessly fascinating, and all of this is all one gorgeous mistake. The other thread is this. That which veils reality from us, so my sense of self, you lot vividly out there, this world of very real things. This all veils reality, yet it also shows us reality. So this is all one big mistake, an illusion that hides reality from us. Yet it is this mistake that shows us reality. If eyesight fails, find a railing to follow. So this is going to be a railing in the dark. We're going to be going into the mystery that lies just beneath the surface of all that seems to exist. So first of all, I want to introduce Nagarjuna. It's 1,800 years ago. Nagarjuna is a great scholar and practitioner, but he hasn't yet got to the emptiness at the heart of the Dharma. Then one day the Nagas guide him to the bed of a lake where he finds the Prajnaparamita texts left by the Buddha 700 years earlier. He discovers emptiness. Emptiness as a deep, intuitive understanding of contingency, of co-arising of self and things. And he composes his verses from the centre.
Contingency is emptiness, which, contingently configured, is the middle way. Everything is contingent. Everything is empty. Reality and unreality cancel each other out.
So that's Nagarjuna. And then I want to introduce Jahal Aldin Rumi. So 1,000 years after Nagarjuna, he's living in Konya, Turkey. And he's a well-respected teacher of Islamic law and head of what becomes known as the Malevi order. He was also a mystic and poet, as was his father. But at the age of 40, he meets Shams. And Shams is an uncompromising, fierce god-man who throws Rumi's books into a pond and tells him to go further. He too discovers emptiness.
I saw you and became empty. This emptiness, more beautiful than existence, it liberates existence. And yet, when it comes, existence thrives and creates more existence.
So, Nagarjuna and Rumi are both poets of emptiness. And poets of emptiness need very subtle translators. Translators who understand that poems don't explain reality, they disclose it, they show us reality. Rumi and Nagarjuna have these subtle translators in Coleman Barks for Rumi and Stephen Batchelor for Nagarjuna.